1 Thessalonians chapter number 3, let's continue our study there tonight. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 3. We've been studying this book in the Bible. We started chapter 3 last week. We looked at chapter number 1 and the saving truth. Of course, the whole theme of the entire book is the Lord is returning. And praise God, the Lord is returning one day. And it's a saving truth in chapter 1. It is a stimulating truth in chapter 2. And here in chapter number 3, it's a stabilizing truth. We looked last week at verses 1 through 5 in 1 Thessalonians as we studied Paul's concerns. And now let's read verses 6 through 10 tonight, and we'll look at Paul's comfort tonight. In verse number 6, it says, "But now when Timotheus came from you unto us, and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity, and that ye have good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us, as we also to see you. Therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you in all our affliction and distress by your faith. For now we live, if ye stand fast in the Lord. For what thanks can we render to God again for you, for all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before our God? Night and day, praying exceedingly, that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith." We're going to look at this passage of Scripture here. I believe that's probably about as far as we'll get tonight. But we begin looking here at verses 6 through 10 at Paul's comfort. Now again, he shared his concerns in the first five verses. He had sent Timothy. Remember, we studied this in depth last week. He went to Athens. He was there alone. Silas and Timothy were sent back to Berea. And then Timothy was sent back to Thessalonica to establish them, to comfort them in the faith. They caught up with Paul in the city of Corinth, and he was concerned. He had sent them because he was concerned, because he knew the tribulation that they were going through, the persecution, the afflictions. Not only the Jews were stirring up, but even the people in the town there who were rejecting him, and no doubt their own families. So we saw that. Now we look at Paul's comfort here in verses 6 through 10. I want you to see, first of all, in verse number 6, the tidings that Paul received. It says there in verse number 6, it says, "But now when Timotheus came from you unto us and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity, and that ye have good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us as we also to see you." We see here that the tidings that he received. Timothy, first of all, a faithful comrade returns, is how he outlined this. It says, Timotheus came from you unto us. This Timothy had done his job. He had gone, he had established them, he had comforted them in their faith, and he comes back and he reports in. And it may not seem like a big deal until we stop and think how we need more Timothys. We need those who will, and I... obviously, yes, because at the Baptist Temple, but all the family of God, amen, we need more Timothys. Young men who are dedicating their life, just as Brother Jordan shared in his, sees the will of God in his life, is dedicating himself, and just wants to do what God called him to do. We need more of them. We need more men and more ladies who will just follow the Lord's will. And Timothy here, he just went and he did his job. And I know it may not even seem like a point I should be preaching on, but it's lacking in the world we live in today. It's character. You can ask any, you know, president or what, any company or manager or whatever. It's difficult in 2020, and forget all the weird stuff going on, but it's been this way for the last few years, right? To find someone who will just work, who will just do their job, who will just do what's asked of them to do. And we need that in the Lord's churches too. People who would just be faithful. He went and he did his job. Praise the Lord for them. Praise the Lord. And we as a church, we need to know what God wants us to do and do it with all of our heart. Amen. So you see a faithful comrade returns, but then also in this passage of Scripture, we see a faithful church reported. It says there again in verse number 6 that Timothy comes back, and it says, "And brought us good tidings of your faith and charity, and that ye have good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us, as we also to see you." We see here a faithful church reported of. Now what did Timothy report in? He reported, number 1, of their faith. It says, again, it says, of your faith. They had held to things. They hadn't quit. They were being persecuted. They were being afflicted. But they hadn't quit. To every member of the church, I'll look in a mirror and say the same thing. Don't quit. Don't quit. The devil will begin to whisper in ears, don't quit. We live in a crazy world, don't we? Don't quit. To Brother Cracky tonight, don't quit. Because I don't care who you are. If you try to live for the Lord, the devil's going to try to stop you. Don't quit. To the Sunday school teacher, don't quit. To the bus worker, don't quit. To the junior church teacher, don't quit. To the prayer warrior, don't quit. Timothy was able to come back, and no doubt Paul was concerned. We established that last week. And Timothy, no doubt, he comes in. You have to use some imagination, I guess. But can you see Paul getting the news? Timothy's on his way. And Timothy walks through that door, wherever it was, or approaches Paul. You can see the concern in Paul's eyes. How are they doing? He left a very young church. He left a church that hadn't had, you know, what we've had, all the teaching. He left the church that not only hadn't got, you know, didn't have a Bible yet, didn't have all the things that we have, but he left a young group of believers that the leadership in the town didn't want. No doubt when Paul looked up at Timothy, he looked with wondering eyes. How they doing? Boy, can't you just imagine Timothy smiling? They're doing great. Oh, the joy in Paul's heart. They haven't quit. They're still going on. They're still being faithful. He reported in, number one, of their faith. Number two, he reports of their fellowship. It says there, and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity. They show great love. That may not sound like much, but you live in that environment. It wouldn't be easy to show love to the world around you. When the world around you wanted to arrest you, when your own family cut you off because you do. Got saved. When any Jew in a town was trying to run you out of town, it'd be very easy to get bitter. Very easy to get spiteful and want revenge. But Timothy looked at Paul and said, they're holding the faith. And Paul, they sure do love each other. And they loved the people around him. He reported of their charity. So reports of their faith and their fellowship, but then he also reports of their fondness. At the end of that verse it says, and that ye have good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us, as we to see you. They loved Paul. They loved Silas. Now, again, Paul didn't need his ego stoked. That's not what he's doing. But Timothy said, they know what you've invested in their life. They know how you've poured yourself into them. And they sure would love to see you again. They sure would love to hug your neck and say thank you. They were already a thankful people for Paul. A thankful people. Now, it may not sound like much, but I want us to stop and consider real quick what was reported by Timothy. You know, I'm sure there were a lot of things going on in the Thessalonians' life. I'm sure that they had faced a lot of different things. I'm sure that they had all kinds of things that they had gone through as a body, just as we have. I'm sure there were ups and downs and good days and bad days. But the three things that Paul was reported into by Timothy was that they were faithful, They showed love, and they were very thankful for all Paul had invested in them. And they just wanted to see him again. It's easy for us as a church, one of God's churches in 2020, to get focused on different things. But let me tell you, the priority is Kazadda Baptist Temple, hold to the faith. Number two, show Christ's love in your life. Jesus' word's not mine. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one towards another. Love each other. I was thankful this morning, one of the young ladies that rode our bus today, teenage girl, she was sitting. And then we started church, I was kind of overlooking, you know, because I try to check out where the kids are on my bus. As you all know, sometimes they can be a challenge. And I was taking inventory where they were and, you know, what they were up to. And I saw Hannah sitting over here on my left by herself. And I was thankful that one of the ladies in the church walked over and said, "Hey, come sit with me." And I texted that lady after church. I said, "Thank you." Church, don't forget. Don't forget to love. He didn't report in any new decorations at the church. No, I'm not belittling it. Praise the Lord. Keep things nice. We talked about that this morning. He didn't report in how much money was in the bank account. He didn't report in a whole lot of things, right? But he did say they're faithful and they know how to share God's love. And Paul, they love you. I want to encourage the church tonight. This challenged me. I know a whole lot of things can probably be said about our church, and a whole lot of things are. But may it be said. May these three things be said. That we are a faithful people to the Word of God, and that we love people, and that we're thankful for anyone who will take the time to lead us and teach us in the Word of God. He brings these tidings, a faithful church reported. So you see the tidings that Paul received. And then number two, the tenderness Paul revealed. In verse number 7, it says, "Therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you in all our affliction and distress by your faith." Now the Thessalonians had been afflicted. We already read that. But here in this passage of Scripture, Paul kind of reveals that he's been hurting too. He had been comforted in all our affliction and distress by your faith. Paul had been going through some things. Now we know, and look back here, just keep something right here, but go back to 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. What is Paul talking about here? In 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, look in verse number 3 with me real quick. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and in verse number 3, this is Paul's epistle to the church at Corinth. And he's rehearsing when he came to them. And we've read this verse a couple weeks ago. But it says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse number 3, it says, "And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power." By the time Paul had got to Corinth, he was tired. By the time that Paul gets there, he is weak, fearful, and trembling. It had physically affected him. You say, "Well, what all?" Again, I'll just rehearse this real quick. What happened in Philippi? Well, let's go beyond Philippi. What happened in Lystra? Acts 14. He was stoned and left for dead. Then he goes into Philippi. He's scourged and whipped and beaten. He's imprisoned. He goes to Berea. He's chased out of town. He goes over to Athens. He's mocked. They gave him an opportunity to speak on Mars Hill. And the people, they rolled their eyes at him. They mocked him. Looked down upon him. It hadn't been an easy road. Y'all with me? By the time he gets to Corinth, his words, "I came to you in weakness, in fear, trembling." I don't want to make this about something it's not, but pray for your missionaries and your pastors, because the devil wears on them. Here's probably, I think most of us would agree, apart from the Lord Jesus Christ, the greatest missionary, no offense, brother, the greatest missionary that had ever walked on the earth, the Apostle Paul. I don't think you take offense to that, though. Yeah, okay, yeah, all right. One of him and Brother Jordan, the greatest missionaries that have ever been on the face of the earth. And he was weak. He was fearful, with much trembling. This had physically affected him. And here he comes. And that's how he enters Corinth. Now what happens? Go back to Acts chapter number 18. And let's read a little bit of this. In Acts chapter number 18, here's Luke's account of when Paul went to Corinth. In Acts chapter 18 and verse number 1, praise the Lord for brothers and sisters in Christ that God sends to encourage us. Amen. Now we know from 1 Corinthians that when he arrived in Corinth, he was weak, he was fearful, he was shaking physically. Chapter 18, verse number 1, after these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth and found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome, and came unto them. By the way, the government began to move people and cause a big stir, and right, wrong, or indifferent, but praise the Lord, God used it for a purpose. Just keep that in mind. God's always in charge. And Aquila and Priscilla had to leave Rome, and they come to Corinth. And when they get there, no doubt they're having to start life over and build their business of tent making back up. But God had a bigger plan. There was a great man of God that was really tired. And there was a great man of God who was weak. And there was a great man of God that just needed encouraged. And praise the Lord that Aquila and Priscilla were there. They took him in, kept his hands busy, which is really important, another lesson. But in verse number 4, he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath, persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. And when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. And when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, he shook his raiment and said unto them, "Your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean. From henceforth I will go into the Gentiles." So Paul sits and spends some time with Aquila and Priscilla, two great Christians, by all accounts in the Word of God. They just let him stay in his house, keep his hands busy. They refresh him to a point now Timothy and Silas walk in. Y'all putting all the pieces together? And here's Paul, tired. No doubt, and I may be adding this, but I think we all can agree from reading all these scriptures, spiritually worn. And Timothy walks in. "How are they doing?" "Paul, they're holding the faith. They are sharing God's love. And they love you." And after Timothy reports, what does Paul do? Verse number 5. What's he do? He starts preaching. Amen? Jesus is the Christ. Something revived him. What was it that revived him? First, you don't have to turn there yet, but in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, but now when Timotheus was coming to us and brought us good tidings of your faith, charity, and that ye have good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us, as we also to see you. Therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you in all our affliction and distress by your faith. Amen? The people and their testimony of what was going on in Thessalonica got Paul back on his feet again. Which, by the way, Gentile, we all ought to be very thankful for a church faithful in Thessalonica. Now, I don't know what would have happened. I'm not even going to go there. But if Timothy would have walked in and said they all quit, they all got tired, Satan won, I don't know how the story ends. But the people were faithful in their faith, their love, and their thankfulness for Paul. That encouraged Paul. Amen? Y'all see that? Verse number 12 here in Acts chapter 18, then we'll go back. It says, and when Gallio was the deputy of Achaia, the Jews made insurrection with one accord against Paul and brought him to the judgment seat. Why'd you read it? Because now Paul's going to go through it again. Things would go well at Corinth, but it wasn't without afflictions. So we know when Paul testifies back in Thessalonians that when I heard how you were doing, it helped us in my afflictions and distress. See, what afflictions were they? What took place in Philippi? What took place in Lystra? What took place in Thessalonica? What took place in Berea? What took place in Athens? And what was taking place there in Corinth? He was being put before judges in Corinth for his faith. But Paul was able to go on. Because as Proverbs chapter 25 and verse number 25 says, good news from a far country are as cold waters to a thirsty soul. And when he heard how things were going, it revived the man of God. It kept him going. Amen? Let me apply that. Send an email to your missionaries. Tell them thanks. Amen. Y'all, amen. Brother Harris is speaking tonight over at Central Baptist, Brother Sturm's church. I'm just telling you from conversations, some days get hard down there in Mexico. It might help the missionary say, hey, Brother Harris, just want you to know we love you, praying for you. Had a visitor come to church Sunday. Praise the Lord for whatever happened, you know, share some good things. It will encourage him. I'm not going to put Miss Christensen on the spot, but I guarantee she'd testify that it's good to hear good news. It's good to hear these things. Hey, kids, tell your Sunday school teacher thanks. Tell them thanks next week. Teenager. Thank Brother Ricky and Miss Rachel. Share with them something you got out of the lesson. So I didn't get anything out of the lesson. Then listen. Say thanks. Go to somebody in the church that has meant something to you tonight. Say thanks. I'm in no way speaking on behalf of somebody or even myself. I'm just telling you, the Bible here, that sometimes even the best of Christians can get really tired and really worn. And they don't need a new car or a new boat. Not that it would take a new boat, but they don't need it, right? Sometimes the greatest gift that can be given is to say, I learned something tonight. You helped me tonight. You helped me in that Sunday school lesson, teacher. Brother Randy, that junior church lesson, this is what I learned. Because to Paul, just hearing got him going again. And he was able to face things ahead of him. Paul looked and wrote to the Thessalonians and said, "You helped me." Isn't that a blessing? You helped me. I promise you tonight, that there are people in the auditorium that are going through different things. None of us may even know about it. We have a serious issue amongst God's people today. It's to be expected somewhat, not that it's right, because one of the signs of the last days is being unthankful. But let's be the exception to that rule. Let's tell people thank you. Let's go to people and share. That's why we're having a Feast of Charity at end of the month. The point is not just to eat. The point is to share love. And we always take the opportunity to say, hey, this person's been a blessing to me. Share it. Because there might be a young lady tonight that's about to quit. And you might be the person to encourage her tonight. There might be a Sunday school teacher who, through all this COVID stuff and haven't been able to teach, is kind of double-guessing themselves. And maybe things were a little chaotic today. Say thanks. Maybe one of your teachers in school. Is Miss Dickhouse here? Is she here? Her health, she's having to step down from teaching. There's been a whole lot of people go through her class. She's been, in my life and my growing up, there was one teacher. Her name was Carol Thomas. She looked mean. She looked like a bulldog. I was scared of her. And every year I always avoided her. I mean, I never was, they always, in Christian schools, you never know what class you're going to teach, right, teachers? And so I always somehow got away. And she always taught elementary. She taught first grade, second grade, fifth grade, sixth grade, third grade. And I always missed her, and I was so glad. Every year when I saw the sheet, oh, I don't have to be in her class, because she scared me. My sixth grade year, I got Carol Thomas. I cried first day of school. Sixth grade, yep, I was a wimp. Cried. I don't want to go to her class. She's mean. Found out she wasn't mean. She was one of my favorite teachers I ever had. When she died, I went to her funeral up in Dayton. I was very thankful for her. She challenged me, sixth grade, to start reading my Bible. She encouraged me to start writing. She had a deal with me, and she said, let's each go a month without watching TV. What teacher does that, right? But she challenged me, and I'm so competitive. She said, let's see who can do it. Okay. Help me. And I love her. She wrote a song, "There's a bluebird on my windowsill, and a rainbow in my heart, a happiness that fills my soul, and a joy that will not depart. Since the day I came to know the Lord and I gave him my heart. He forgave my sin, he saved my soul. And now I sing within my heart," and then she would repeat it. The song never had an end. We just kept singing it over and over. I saw her a few years before she died, and I just said, thank you. There's people like that in your life. Tell them thanks. Because it might be they really need that tonight. They really need that. Paul needed it. Amen? You see a third thing. Let's wrap this up. Number one, in Paul's comfort, the tidings that Paul's received, the tenderness that Paul revealed, and now in verses 8 through 10, you see the triumph that Paul reviewed. The triumph in verses 8, 9, and 10, it says there, "For now we live, if ye stand fast in the Lord." Got to tell you, first of all, verse number 8 here, his life was linked to theirs. I want you to really, I'm going to let you in. Paul's kind of sharing something, all right? And I have to preach it because we're here, all right? I have no ulterior motives. I'm just preaching the Bible. We all should be able to amen that. Amen? His life was linked to theirs. Look what he said. For now we live. Me, Silas, Timothy, we live if ye stand fast in the Lord. We live if ye stand fast in the Lord. Isn't that fascinating? Now that word live there means full of vigor, excitement, happiness, peace, contentment. Now we live if ye stand fast in the Lord. I mentioned in our business meeting, there's a few things, some sin has crept up in some lives, and the great burden, this was about, I don't know, 3 weeks ago now. And it was affecting me. And my wife, she said, I want to talk to you. It's always scary when your wife comes and says she wants to talk to you, right? She goes, I want to talk to you. And she started sharing about, she knew the burden. She knew some things I was dealing with. And she did her best to encourage me, and I'm thankful for that. And she told me, and she's absolutely right, everyone's going to make their choices. There's nothing you can do about that other than preach the truth. She's right. And everything she said was right. But I looked at her and said, but there's one thing, and I don't expect her to get it. But it's this verse. And probably only a pastor can really grasp this. And I'll just apply it to right here. Travis Burke lives when you stand fast in the Lord. When Paul said, my life is just, it's life. It's full of vigor. If ye stand fast in the Lord. That's what it says. Amen. And as a pastor, I get it. As a pastor, I understand that. Because like it or not, because at a Baptist church, remember? Me and you are linked. We're linked. I'll never forget when Miss Amanda caught me over there, back there. She said, Pastor, I need to tell you something. Yeah, what's that? I'll tell you what she told me, ready? I'll keep it a secret. But I'll just tell you it's about 9 months ago and she told me, right? She said, God answered prayer. And I had prayed every day for a few years for that prayer request. And we shared in that excitement. And I was happy. So happy for her. I wept rejoicing tears with her. I've also been by bedsides and wept with some of you. Because like it or not, we're linked. You may not want it, but if you remember, stuck with it, man. We're linked. Because I care. And I love you. And I live when you stand fast in the Lord. I'm not trying to put no pressure. Don't take it that way. That's just Bible. And I'm preaching verse by verse. That's what it's talking about. Because there's a connection there. His life was linked with theirs. I'll close with this. His life was lived for them. In verse 9 and 10, it says, for what thanks can we render to God again for you? He praised God for their faithfulness. He was so thankful, and his life was one of praise for their faithfulness. You see, his life was one of him being pleased because of them. It says, keep reading verse number 9, for all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before our God. He said, you being faithful, just fills my life with pleasure. I'm so pleased. His prayer life was for them in verse number 10. Night and day praying exceedingly that we might see your face. He was thankful and praised God for them. He was pleased by them doing right. He prayed for them day by day, and his whole life was about their perfection. The end of verse number 10, that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. He says, what else can I do? He said, this is my life, Thessalonica. I praise God for you. I am pleased by watching the growth in your life and the steadfastness. I pray for you night and day, and my goal is to see your faith, the things that are lacking, perfected. Paul in this book of Thessalonians is opening the door and lets you see into the heart of every good missionary and pastor. So Brother Jordan, tonight, may that be your life. Brother Slee down at Hope, may that be his life. May that be my life. And may the church be found faithful. May it be said, they're holding the faith. They sure do love people, and they love you. Let's pray, Father.